The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here. I guess we had a little hot mic issue. Thank God I didn't say anything bad. Sometimes I do, but I didn't today because I'm in a really good mood. My day started on America's Newsroom, and I was up in New York with Jimmy Failla. We were on there with Dana Perino and Martha McCallum talking about the whole City Sweetie thing and Jaguar. I think the president was watching. Well, I know he was because he put out a Truth Social post shortly after the hit and was basically saying what we were saying, and he brought up Bud Light, and I brought up a guy in a dress, and how it's obvious that people would buy a woman in jeans and what she's selling and not a dude in a dress. So anyway, there you go. So the president was watching that. He Truth Socialed it because he was asked yesterday. He said, you know, it's come to our attention that Sydney Sweeney's a Republican. That's because the left went and looked up her voter registration. But you know what I find most fascinating about that is that Sydney Sweeney lives in Florida. And she loves guns. She's an excellent marksman. Holy cow, there's this one video of her shooting. And I was even going back and forth with Jack Carr's guy about this, about getting her in one of Jack Carr's, you know, the Terminalist show. They're working on season two is coming out soon. But I said they should get Sydney Sweeney for season three. But she's a big deal. She was in White Lotus. She's been in a couple movies. She has a new movie coming out. She's playing a woman boxer, female boxer, who's known as like the female Rocky. It's a total underdog story. And but she lives in Florida. You know why she lives in Florida? Because she's smart and she has a lot of money and she doesn't want to give it all to Gavin Newsom. But she's not the only one. There's lots of Hollywood actors and actresses who don't live in Hollywood. Right. Because they don't make movies there anymore. They don't make movies there anymore. Over the weekend, I took the kids to see Superman. So that was, I think, the third time I've seen it. But Patrick and Reagan and Bridget had not seen it yet. So we went to see Superman. And we stayed till the closing credits because there's a couple post scenes. And I noticed at the end, because I didn't stay till the very, very end for the final post credit scene. But at the end, they show you all the shooting locations. And the film was shot in Georgia, also in the UK and New Zealand, but primarily was shot in Georgia. That's where they mostly make movies nowadays, in Georgia. Georgia is a red state. Georgia is a red state. So think about it now. Gavin Newsom and the Democrats, like if you had said at one point, what is Hollywood known for? Now, there's lots of answers. Pickpockets, homeless people, homeless poop on the streets, drug dealers, serial killers, rapists. But what industry would you say California is known for? And people would say, oh, the movies, Hollywood, Tinseltown. When we did years ago, we did the Universal Studios Hollywood tour. Not years ago, months ago, back in the spring. We went out there. I was doing the PragerU, got my PragerU thermos. Whatever this is, whatever brand this is, book club, and took the family out there. We went to Universal Studios, and we did the studio tour. Now, I loved it. It was fun because I knew the movies that they'd actually shot there, like Psycho, the original Psycho, War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise. There weren't many, but my kids didn't know any of the movies. None of them. None of them. And they don't – the only thing they were shooting while we were there was a live show for America's Got Talent, The Voice, whatever it is. I don't know, whatever it is. Because they need a studio audience for that. So it's easier to get studio audiences in Hollywood and New York because, you know, you run the tickets there. And there's offices there. So, like, they had a big thing for Wicked, a big sign. And my daughter goes, oh, is that where they shot Wicked? No. They shot Wicked in the UK and they shot Wicked in Georgia. But the producer has an office there. So there are Wicked balloons, like the same balloons you could buy in ShopRite. No, really, the other day for Mama Zioli's birthday. Today's Mama Zioli's birthday. Wish Mama Zioli a happy birthday. Thanks for giving me life. Or as my haters say, thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, Mama Zioli. But anyway, I went to ShopRite and I got balloons. And of course, you know, when you give balloons for your parents, it's really for your children. And Reagan loves balloons and Claire loves Wicked. So I got balloons, and one of the balloons was a Happy Birthday Wicked balloon. That exact balloon was outside the producer's office in Hollywood at Universal Studios. But the movie wasn't shot there. They don't shoot movies there anymore. It's too expensive. And I was curious while I was there, going on the studio tour and looking at this museum of what was once Hollywood. Because they show you like, oh, we shot a scene for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood here. And, oh, if you remember, like, that's the Friends Fountain or like things like that. And my kids have no idea like what they're talking about. And they'll rent studios space to various things like that. But they haven't shot an actual full-length feature film in Hollywood in a very, very long time. So then I did a little research. And I was reading in the Los Angeles Times this article that came out a few years ago. And they were saying that Hollywood, in a matter of time, is just going to be a museum to Hollywood. Like, that's it. It'll be a museum to Hollywood and what they used to do there. And they're losing a gigantic piece of that every day as more and more people move out. And the article went on to say, we don't really want to talk about it, but a big reason is the millionaire's tax. Because, you know, all the Hollywood lefties advocated for a millionaire's tax because, of course, they're all, you know, woke Dems. And so they were like, oh, yeah, raise taxes on the rich, of course. And what do? They left. They moved out. And the studios, because they're cheap and they're always trying to save money, they're like, oh, yeah, of course we support raising taxes on rich people. And then what do? They fled to states where it's cheaper to make movies so that they can make more money for themselves, which I'm fine with. That's called capitalism. Good. But Georgia took advantage of that, seized that, created all these film credits and made it easy. And it's a right to work state. And they also found a way to make the permitting and the regulations. And that was the other thing I read in the article is that in Hollywood, it's the permitting, the hassle, the busting of the chops. And during COVID with Gavin Newsom, the political shapeshifter, yeah, he shut the place down. Tom Cruise, to his credit, said, enough is enough. I got to finish Top Gun Maverick. This is ridiculous. So he went to the UK, convinced the Brits to open up. The Brits opened up and he was able to finish shooting Top Gun Maverick there. But that was it. It's done. Like Hollywood's done. So Sydney Sweeney, if she does have to shoot something in Hollywood, it'd be very rare that she does. But she'll probably have to do a red carpet out there. They still use that Chinese theater for that. I don't know if you can say that or not. It's a bit racist, but they still use the Chinese theater for premieres and things like that. And they do all their premieres. But so she might have to fly out there. So she'll jet set out there. She's not living there. But that was a dream at one point, right? If you're a young 27-year-old rich actress, you wanted to be in Hollywood. You wanted to live in Los Angeles. You wanted to be in the epicenter of the movie industry. Not Sydney Sweeney. She's smart. She loves guns. She's not staying in California. Why? So that she can pay 15% income tax and not have guns? When she could live in Florida, pay no income tax and have all the guns that she wants and go shooting and have freedom. So this actress who has caused backlash among like five people and then the other like 350 million sane people who are not offended by her ad, just think it's a really beautiful woman in jeans. The five people who are offended by her and the campaign, those crazy people, then they're called crazy people. They are. They don't amount to anything. They said, well, let's out her as a Republican. And they did. And people were like, oh, my God. And then they asked Trump, and President Trump was like, she is? Well, there's actually a lot of people who are Republicans. And there are. There are a lot of people who are Republicans who actually work in the entertainment industry. It's one of the reasons why I go to the movies. I don't boycott Hollywood. I know some people do. And every time I talk about movies, I always usually get an email from somebody. But I don't care because, you know, as you're watching the credits for Superman, I enjoy the movies. I like going to the movies. I like going to I just enjoy the process of it. You know what I mean? The whole thing. And it's also a good way to kill a couple hours on a hot day with kids or a rainy day with kids. But the credits take minutes to roll. And you get the key grip and the lighting guys and the sound guys. And those are all our people. All those guys are our people. the catering guys, the truck guys, the rigging guys. I don't know what any of those people do. All those people, the set builders, those are all MAGA. They're all people voting Republican. And there's a whole lot of actors that are too. It's just like the people that are offended by Sidney Sweeney, they're loud. Right? So the ones that are the actors who are the lefties are loud and obnoxious, and they make you think that the whole industry is like that. But when I heard that whole thing about how they outed Sidney Sweeney, outed her, I mean, she's a registered Republican, and I thought, well, the funniest part about that is that here's a successful Hollywood actress who lives in Florida. It's like everybody lives in Florida now. You know, DeSantis, Governor DeSantis jokes about how he's trying to now figure out a way to stop everybody from coming from New York to Florida when that socialist kook Mandami winds up winning, and he's going to win because New York's nuts. So they'll vote for the guy and then they'll leave. So you've got California leaving. All this talk about redistricting in Texas, and you're hearing a lot about this, and it's kind of in the weeds, but basically it goes like this, right? These states now are trying to figure out how they can keep their congressional districts because they're losing. Blue states in particular are going to lose their seats. They're going to lose their seats when they do the census in 2030. California, New Jersey, New York, maybe Jersey can tie. If Jack Cittorelli wins, and I think he's got a great shot of winning, maybe New Jersey can, you know, turn the tide on that. But people are fleeing blue states. Sydney Sweeney, I'm sure when she was young, probably at some point when she decided she wanted to be an actress, probably thought, I'll live in Hollywood. And then made money and was like, I'll never live in Hollywood. Like, why? And she doesn't have to because they're not filming there. So it's not like she's got to be on set at 9 a.m. to do a shoot. If anything, she's got to be in Georgia. And then, great, good for her, because it's cheaper to be in Georgia than it is to be in Los Angeles. So people are fleeing blue states, and these blue states now are now trying to figure out how they can redistrict to try to keep the seats, congressional districts. And Gavin Newsom actually started this. And as everybody's talking about Texas, what they're not mentioning is that Newsom started this by bypassing a proposition that was passed by the people of California that would take redistricting out of the hands of the politicians. But he knows they're going to lose seats. And so he's trying to move the map around, not only to put himself in a better shape for 2026, because so many people have left, but also to try to preserve seats when they redo the census and then redo the map in 2032. But these blue states are in for a reckoning. And I had a laugh the other day when the van down by the river, if you heard during the hot mic, it's what I was saying. Friday night, Fox News sent a van down to my house. I did a hit on Ingram Engel. And we were talking about Jasmine Crockett going on about how all these Anglos in Texas, you know, are figuring out the redistricting. And why should these Anglos have so much say? And I just said it's interesting to me. I don't really know what she's talking about, because the only demographic the Democrats have left are white college educated liberals. That's it. Like Latino voters, Hispanic voters, they're voting Republican. Trump won that demographic. In fact, the left doesn't even count them as brown people anymore. You know how they always put people in crayon boxes? So like you're brown. You used to be brown. But now you're not brown anymore. So if you're Hispanic or you're Latino, you're no longer brown. You're now white. And black people are almost going to be white, too, if this trend continues. No, really, it's true. Because Trump won the black vote to such a degree in so many different places and outperformed, best the Republicans ever done since Nixon, to the point now where literally the left is going to start calling black people white people just to start screaming about how they're still oppressed. The only demographic left are college educated white liberals, and that's it. And you look at the breakdown in New York City and you look at Mandami, how he did. Cuomo won with Latino voters and black voters. That was the demographic groups that he won. Mandami won with white college educated liberals. It's amazing to me. It really is. So as now you're looking at these redistricting efforts, I mean, you could carve these districts to try to get more black voters in them, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to vote Democrat. The same thing with the Hispanic voters. But you see, when they were making the maps, I think the Democrats just assumed that. And now the Democrats are really worried about this because they're looking at the trends and going, oh, my God, they're not voting for us anymore. Well, why would they? You're against school choice. Your policies are abysmal, and they don't like you. Nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. That man, that dude in Congress who identifies as a woman, the other night was going on about how people think Democrats are a-holes. Yeah, we do. They do. It's true. People do think Democrats are a-holes. You know why they do? Because they get outraged over a jeans commercial. That's why. They get outraged over a jeans commercial and start screaming about Nazi eugenics. Meanwhile, American Eagle stock is up 22% because normal people just see a beautiful woman in jeans and they turn around and go, you know what? I am going to buy those jeans because they're really nice. I don't see any coded Nazi propaganda in there. I know. Crazy, right? But the other thing that I found fascinating about the whole thing with Sydney Sweeney is that when this guy or whoever it was who wrote this story and outed, quote unquote, outed Sydney Sweeney as a Republican, it's like voter rolls are public and they have been forever. If Sydney Sweeney really didn't want people to know she wasn't a Republican, she wouldn't have registered as one. I mean, just think about that for a second. Voter rolls are public. They're public information. I've worked on campaigns, and the reason why you get mail pieces delivered to your house is because we know who you vote for. Well, which party you vote for. And we know how many times you vote. It's true. So the more you vote, the more you're going to get those annoying mail pieces in your mailbox, and the more calls you're going to get. You would think you'd get rewarded for good behavior. It's the opposite. The more money you give, the more we ask. And the more you vote, the more we inundate your mailbox with highfalutin, glossy mail pieces. And you, I know what you're thinking. You think you open it up and you go, would you stop? I voted every election. Why do you keep bothering me? Exactly. That's why. So if Sydney Sweeney didn't want people to know she's a Republican, she just wouldn't have registered as one. She would have just not registered with a political party. You don't have to. It's not required. She could just register as an independent, but she wanted people to know. She knew full well people would find out. She didn't care. Just like when she's firing guns, she knew people would find out. Just like at the birthday party when somebody was caught with a blue line T-shirt and they had hats on that said, make 60 great again. And people were like, oh, my God, make 60 great again. There was this guy who got kicked out of a soccer game. I don't know where, but he had a Make America Great Again hat. And that's apparently considered political. Didn't say Trump's name on it. But they kicked him out of the soccer match. Good for him, by the way, because I went to a Union game over the weekend and I wish I'd gotten kicked out. I'm not a soccer guy. I'm not. But I had free tickets. But I'm just saying. But anyway, but I wish I'd been thrown out. I don't like soccer. I'm sorry. I just don't. But my son does. But so anyway. Make America Great Again is apparently a political symbol. That's a sign. It's a political, even though it's been said by both Democrats and Republicans. Like Bill Clinton used to say that. That's now a political statement. And soccer is an international competition. You can't root for America, I guess, anymore. I don't really know how that works. But American Eagle. See, the other thing about American Eagle is that it's American Eagle, right? American. So there's that. So Sydney Sweeney, so smart to just ignore it all. And I went on her social media today. I was stalking her. No, I had to prepare for my interview. And I was looking at, right. That, I read the articles. No, I did, for real. I had to. I did. Well, they send you what your topics are. So when you're heading up to New York, they send you your topics. And the topic was Sydney Sweeney. So I had to do my research. So I had to look at all her pictures. And yes, this really does feel like one of those conversations. I'm just doing research, really, in the back of a big SUV going up the turnpike. And while I was doing my research, I noticed that she didn't respond to any of this nonsense. And American Eagle played it smart, too. They just said it's about jeans and she's got great jeans. And there you go. And they were smart, too. They didn't bend the knee of the woke mob. So maybe it's over now. For now. maybe it's over. And the question that Dan Aprino asked me today was, so you think these companies are taking a sigh of relief? And I said, absolutely they are. Absolutely they are, because they've never wanted to do this anyway. All this woke posturing and everything else, they thought they had to. But Trump exposed the woke mob for what it is. And it's shining a flashlight in the corner where you see a giant shadow and find out it's a tiny little mouse. And you go, it's nothing. Exactly. It's a bunch of crazy people, but they're loud, but the numbers are not there. If the numbers were there, Stephen Colbert wouldn't be getting canceled. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in today. The big story of the day is that American Eagle is crushing it, and the president has posted on Truth Social after watching my appearance on America's Newsroom. So we'll talk about that. That's brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Mama Zeoli discovered him. It's Mama Zeoli's birthday today. She has a beautiful smile thanks to Dr. Mike. You should get your beautiful smile as well. VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Monday, and here we are. So President Trump was asked about Sidney Sweeney yesterday as he was getting ready to fly back to the White House and his reaction to her being a registered Republican. It's just perfecto. Cut number one.
After Sidney Sweeney, it came out this weekend that she was a registered Republican. Any thoughts on that?
That who was?
Sidney Sweeney. She's like a very hot actress right
now. She's a registered Republican?
Yes.
Oh, now I love her ad. Is that right? Is Sidney Sweeney... You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sidney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. President.
There you go. I think everything's fantastic. Yeah, so do we. Absolutely. Like her more now. Really do. No doubt about it. But, the left's going to melt down, too, because they have, you know, just the typical nonsense. There's a Make America Healthy Again, Make America Healthy Again event going on in D.C. right now. Brooke Rollins and Bobby Kennedy, Marty McCary, some other people. The goal of this right now is to make SNAP food programs healthier. And we're not going to jump into it, but they just kind of wrapped it up. But the goal of this, and we'll get you some details on that, is to just make – they've long said, you know, all these government programs enable people to buy just absolute crap and junk. And it's not good for them, and it's not good for anybody, really. I would also like them to start talking about school cafeterias, pretty please, because school cafeterias – are a freaking nightmare. As parents know, they're a nightmare. You know, you try to send your kids with healthy food, and it's like a prison, like a prison yard drug deal, the way these kids trade food. So, you know, school cafeterias would be a good one, too. You send your kids with money to buy stuff, and they have access to so much junk. And I'm not saying I don't want, like, I mean, it's okay every now and then. I'm crazy, but the school cafeteria is one of probably the biggest offenders of places where kids can go and get unhealthy food, even if you're trying to keep your kids healthy. Like, you know what? You know the things your kids should not be eating based on your particular kid, for example. And the school cafeteria, they can just bypass that. So it's not that I want government intervention in these things, but what I want to have happen is I would like if the government is providing money in these matters for the government to then make sure that we're not wasting that money on junk food. And you might turn around and go, but don't people have a right to junk food? They do, but they don't have a right to my money to buy junk food. If they want to get a job and they want to pay for their own junk food, I'm all for it, and I'll fight to defend them and their ability to do so. I think the issue here is we're talking about benefits, and we're talking about, you know, a lot of these school lunches are subsidized. You know what I mean? Like, we're paying for this stuff. And I'm just saying, if we're paying for it, why don't we make it a little bit healthier? Because if we don't, then we're also going to be paying on the other end. Because the odds are, if somebody's paying for SNAP, if somebody's using a food stamp or whatever they used to call it food stamps, odds are you're also probably subsidizing their health care too. You know what I mean? Like, there's a thing where it's, if you're drinking soda every day and you're eating junk food every day and you're doing that with my tax dollars and you know that that's not healthy, odds are my tax dollars are also going to be dealing with your type 2 diabetes at some point or your kid's type 2 diabetes at some point. Because chances are, if you're using SNAP benefits to buy food, you're also using Medicare or Medicaid, I guess Medicaid, for health care. So again, my tax dollars, I don't need to be paying to make you unhealthy to then pay for you while you're unhealthy. I think that that's just what we would call common sense, right? I think everybody can agree on that point. Hey, if you're a private payer, knock yourself out. That's what I always say. If it's your money, go ahead, eat all the junk food you want. I don't care. I really don't care. But if I'm subsidizing this for poorer people who are also using Medicaid for their health care, then I think we should start focusing more on healthy stuff. So that maybe we can cut down on the rates of obesity and childhood fatness, which I think the word for it is obesity, childhood chunkiness. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Probably common sense. And then you go, well, that's not fair. Because just because Tommy's family's poor, he should be able to get his hands on a gigantic bag of Doritos like a rich kid. No, and I'm not advocating for the rich kid to get government-funded Doritos either. But if we do have a program whereby we give food to people who can't afford it, and we have that program, then at least make it freaking healthy. All right? I just think that that's what we just call common sense. Not that complicated. I'm sure somebody would be offended by that. Like, how dare you restrict their right to drink Coca-Cola or whatever generic version of it exists? I'm not. They could buy it. But if you're using the SNAP benefits, certain things should not be able to be used for that so that they can focus on buying healthy food to feed their family and their children. Okay, so we'll see what comes out of that Make America Healthy Again thing. Matt, if you can get me some details on what was just announced, I would appreciate it. Just a few moments ago as they just wrapped up. CNN data guru Harry Enten has dubbed Trump the most influential president of this century. Harry Enten is all over this. I mean, he's very, very excited. He really is. He's a very excitable guy, Harry Enten. And we have a couple different clips of him going through the data on all this. And this is on tariff statistics and what he goes through. So we've got tariff statistics, immigration statistics, and executive order statistics. Let's start with part five, or cut number five, part one. Justin, take a listen.
And I think the theme of this segment is going to be love it, like it, lump it. Trump's remaking the United States of America. We can start there with tariffs. What are we talking about? No tacos for Trump. The effective tariff rate, get this, 18%. It is the highest, Omar, the highest since the 1930s, up from, get this, just 2% last year. As I'm going to talk about in this segment, I can't think of a more influential president during this century, and it starts here with tariffs. He said he was going to raise tariffs, and despite the claims otherwise, he is in fact doing that. The effective tariff rate at this point looks to be 9 times as high as it was last year, the highest since the 1930s in FDR, Omar.
Look at that, huh? CNN also went into his immigration statistics, too, and the effectiveness that he has here. This is cut number six.
2% last year for those that might see the banner there. Tariffs, though, aren't the only way Trump's remaking policy in America, right?
It is not the only way that Trump is remaking America. What are we talking about? Well, let's jump. The other big thing that Trump ran on, right, was immigration. How about net migration in the United States? Get this. It's down. It's going to be down at least 60%. We may be dealing with, get this, negative net migration to the United States in 2025. That would be the first time there is negative net migration in this country in at least 50 years. We're talking about down from 2.8 million in 2024. So Donald Trump has always run on tariffs, and he's run on a hawkish line on immigration. And on both of those issues, we are seeing record high tariff rates for this century going all the way back. Well back into the early part of the 20th century. And when it comes to immigration, net migration, we are seeing record low levels way down from where we were during the Biden administration. We are potentially looking at negative net migration for the first time in at least 50 years. And that is a big reason why that I'm saying that Trump, at least in my mind, is the most influential president, certainly this century and probably dating a good back chunk into the 20th century as well, Omar.
So, all right. Now, if you're not a tariff fan, I know what you're thinking. Well, the last time we were that effective with tariffs, we had a global depression as a result. Now, I totally understand that thinking. Like, well, maybe that's not something to brag about. We'll come back to that point in a second. But on the negative net migration, wow. I mean, think about that. How easy it was, it turns out, to fix the crisis at the border. To not only fix it, but to have negative net migration. Is that rare? It's rare when you say negative in a good positive context, because negative is the opposite of positive. But in this case, negative is a positive. This is good. You want that. Negative net migration. Wow. It's a big deal. Now, I'm not suggesting the tariffs are going to lead to a global depression. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that I know that that's immediately, and you're right to have your thing go, wait a second. Last time that happened in the 1930s, the 20s, and there would be, you know, the consequences of those tariffs would lead to a depression. I don't think we're anywhere near that. I think these tariff rates are going to work out to deals. At least I'm still very optimistic about that fact, that they're going to work out to deals versus what happened, you know, 100 years ago. CNN data guru Harry Enten dubbing President Trump the most influential president this century on executive orders. Now, again, I'll put a caveat here, which is to say, wait a second. I thought we don't like executive orders. We don't, except if you're doing executive orders to undo executive orders, which is what this president has had to do. Because the previous administration did executive orders on everything. Day one, they got in there and killed the Keystone XL pipeline. And then it was an executive order bonanza going all the way through on everything. And executive orders, and of course, we're not even getting into the rules they promulgated and all the nonsense that they created using all the various federal agencies. We're not even talking about that. But as all these executive orders were created, Trump now has to undo all this nonsense using executive orders. Cut seven.
Chunk into the 20th century as well, Omar.
So when you say most influential, I mean, statistically, how much is Trump doing?
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about this. How about executive orders? Already, 180 executive orders signed by Donald Trump this year. You have to go all the way back to the FDR administration once again to find a year in which there were as many executive orders signed as we have this year. To give you an idea, Biden during his first year signed 77. That's the entire year. We're only a little bit more than halfway through this year, Omar. Again, this is why I'm saying executive orders, immigration with net migration, and we're talking about tariffs and the effective tariff rate. Donald Trump is remaking the United States, love it, like it, or lump it. He has been tremendously influential to a historic degree, Omar.
Okay. You gotta realize something here, and this is a key fact here, is that we live in a day and age right now where the executive promulgates a whole lot of rules. I would really, really like to see that change. But in order to do so, we have to have Congress rein a lot of things in, which is why the Republicans need to pass the Reins Act so that they can rein in these regulations. I'll give you a great example. Last week, when President Trump was signing executive orders, as he is now trying to deregulate, as he's trying to deal with colleges and their wokeness, as he's trying to do all these things. He's undoing things that were done by either the EPA, the Biden administration, put in by the Department of Education. I mean, we don't have any idea. We're still trying to figure all this out, the damage that was done by the previous administration and the nonsense that they did in the various three-letter, four-letter agencies, just even outside of what Biden did, putting in rules and putting in mandates. And to the extent that the president can undo those vis-a-vis executive order, well, he's going to. The RAINS Act, which is something that our friends like Kat, what's your name from Florida? Why is your name escaping me, Matt DeSantis?
Kat Kamick. Kat Kamick.
Kat Kamick, thank you. Oh, you're back in Arizona. Your microphone stinks.
I did a mic test before the show started. Everyone said it sounded fine.
Sounds like you're in a bathroom again.
Oh, I'm near a bathroom, but not technically in one.
Why don't you go in the bathroom and just stay there till the end of the show? Why don't you do that? Give us all a break. Just kidding.
Usually I don't catch this much ire until later in the week, so starting off hot on a Monday.
We're firing at all cylinders today. At a 6 a.m. pickup, we're rocking and rolling. 18 cups of coffee later, you know what I mean? By the way, I did rewatch Superman with the kids. It is really, really good. It is a good movie. I do recommend it. You loved it, right?
I really liked it. And again, that's saying something, because typically I'm not the biggest fan of superhero movies. I like explosions as much as the next person, but usually the stories lack. I did think there were some interesting angles in this one that we haven't seen before, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. Now, there is a line at the end of that movie where Supergirl says to Superman, "Thanks for watching my dog, B."
It's a funny line.
It's a funny line. And then Reagan goes, "What's a bee?" And then Bridget looks at me and gives me the dirtiest look. And I said, "Ooh, I forgot about that." And then five more times, "Mommy, what's a bee? What's a bee?" And then Bridget just ignored it. And then yesterday, when we were talking about it, Reagan goes, "Yeah, and Supergirl was there, and she said, thanks for watching my dog, Pitch." I said, "That's right. That's a nickname, Pitch, like, you know, like, because Superman's got a good pitching arm, honey, like that." So there, dodge that bullet. And you know how I dodged Friday night's bullet with the school play? Oh. So the van down by the river shows up, and I go out there, I do the hit, and then the hit ended, and then I was able to drive over to where the play was, and I got there right as it was wrapping up, so I didn't have to sit through that play, thank God. And then I got to be there for the end, so it looked like I was there the whole time, and I got to go in the lobby and greet her when she walked out with the cast.
Very nice. See, a happy ending.
Well, not that kind of happy ending. Well, I mean
everything ended
why
well.
Why are you in such a perverted place?
You got to do the Fox hit, and you got to see the conclusion of the play. Everybody wins.
Without dad guilt, because that was the fear that I would have had to go to New York or something, and then I missed the play, and it would be, you know, so.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you actually have to shoot the segment inside of the van?
I did.
That's
I did,
awesome.
Yeah. No, yeah, you go inside the van and you sit at a chair in front of a TV and there's lights on you and you connect to the studio in New York and then you do this, you do the hit. No different than
awesome.
If you were in New York in a pod or something like that. That's what they do. And the guy, he drove up. He did have to plug into my router because the Wi-Fi signal was a little – like the signal was a little weak. So I plugged into the Wi-Fi router because I have really fast Wi-Fi here for doing the show at home. So he plugged into that. Otherwise, that was it. Nicest guy. And then I did the hit. Lasted 3 minutes. All that work. You know what I mean? 3-minute hit. Done. And
it looked very good. I actually caught it when I got home. The scenic backdrop they used, excellent. You wouldn't have known it was from a van.
It looked like a Fox, like it was at Fox, right? The way that people in the background and stuff. Yeah,
it was impressive.
How'd the segment sound?
I don't remember, but it looked great.
All right, well, that's fine. As long as you don't remember, it's yeah, very, very memorable. What I said really made an impact. It's like, I don't remember. I don't know. I'm freaking out. No idea. But, you know. But the van down by the river. All right, we are going to be heading to Cape May, maybe in a van, maybe in a car, Jeep, however you want to get there. August 15th, Friday the 15th, for our next live show. That's a week from Friday. And now is your time to mark the calendar and clear your day so you can join us 3 to 7 in Cape May for our last live show of the summer, because we're not going back until Halloween. So Friday, August 15th, 3 to 7 p.m., you don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation to come to the show. And it's also the time for you to start thinking about your September to remember getaways, whether you want to do a nice fall weekend at the Grand Hotel of Cape May or you want to do a week stay, a midweek stay. They have packages, discounts, and resort credits available for you. And honestly, September is probably the best time of year to go. The crowds are gone. The weather is beautiful. The pool's open and it's still heated, and the indoor pool's open and heated. And really, Cape May is just magical that time of year. You have the place to yourself. It's great. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com right now and look into their fall packages. Whether it's a weekend or a midweek stay, you will love being at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. And you'll also love having your event there. My friend Caitlin was named South Jersey's 2025 Face of Weddings. She is a certified wedding planner and will help you plan the wedding event of your dreams. So all you got to do is reach out to them today, whether it's a wedding, baby shower, bridal shower, or corporate event. She can help you make lifetime memories. They have beautiful ballrooms, and we'll be in one on August 15th. We'll be in the fifth floor ballroom overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. Absolutely gorgeous. You want to join us for that. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. I'll see you August 15th.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I was noticing, you know, as America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, is embracing Zoran Mandami, the woman running for governor of New Jersey, the Democrat, Mikey Sherrill, is now pretending like she doesn't know who Zoran Mandami is. There's a new poll that's out today on the New Jersey governor's race, and it shows a very, very close race. And I really do believe if this race were held today, Jack Cittarelli wins. I really believe that. I think people have had it with the policies in this state. But this guy, Patrick Murray, who should be in prison, he was with Monmouth University at the time in 2021. He's the one that they put up that poll right before the election. It showed that Murphy had a double-digit lead on Cittarelli the weekend before the election. And then Patrick Murray writes this op-ed and says, I'm not going to do polling anymore because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shut up, you liar. Well, he then Monmouth University polling just recently closed. So now he's at fairly ridiculous polling over there. And his new poll shows a he's at a fundraiser. I'm sorry. Let me start that again. The poll was conducted by Patrick Murray, but I guess he's got a new political polling firm. He's not with a college. He's got his own polling shop. Somebody's actually paying this guy money to poll after blowing it so disastrously in 2021. Pollsters are like weather people. I mean, they could be so wrong, so off, and still get clients and still get jobs and work. It's amazing to me. But anyway, his poll shows a 6-point lead for Democrat Mikey Sherrill in the New Jersey governor's race. And that's a big deal. Assuming that this is right, assuming that since they're paying him to do this, he's actually doing it correctly and it's not just propaganda like he did for Monmouth University, that means this is a very close race. And it's August. And we're not even paying attention yet to this race, which is really good news for Jack Cittarelli. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.